So today is the last class for this textbook. So those who are new will be ending this today, and then next week we'll start a new text. So I'll just briefly summarize. It's called Bhakti Sudha, or the Nectar of Devotion. And over the past few months, we have talked about what is devotion. Devotion is love for God, as different from love for an individual or an object. And love for God is all inclusive. It does not exclude anybody that I only love this person or this sect or this group. Then that is not love, because God is in all. And to say that I only belong to this community or this church, then that is, you cannot love God and hate anybody else. If you do, then you cannot call yourself a devotee of God. And then we had studied about the qualities of a devotee, how this person functions in the world, and what are the obstacles. So everything is there in this textbook. If anybody is interested, we do have some copies. Also, these talks are available on website called firstpower.info. firstpower.info. If you go there and click on talks by Dr. Anil Mehta, you can listen to previous talks. So here we are ending with, how does this devotee function in the world? A person who worships God, who loves God, what are the qualities? And we have verse number 30 and then 31. They have been reversed, but we'll do verse number 30 first. And then what is the glory of a devotee, one who loves Lord? Why is he or she glorified and respected in the world? So verse number 30 on page 46. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Maitra karuna evacha. Maitra karuna evacha. Bhagavato bhagavatah preshtah. Bhagavato bhagavatah preshtah. Krita krityasa evahi. Krita krityasa evahi. So we always think that one who loves God or worships God goes to church, you know, three times a week, does a lot of prayers, rituals. But if you read the textbooks, especially the Bhagavad Gita from which this line is taken, God does not say how many times does he go to the church, does he offer me flowers or not, does he light a candle or not, does he give money to the church. Those are all good. I'm not saying that one should not pray or one should not go to church or offer money. Those are all good. But just doing that does not make you a devotee of the Lord. In fact, sometimes what happens is that people who think they are more religious, they sometimes develop a superior attitude, you know, that I am more religious than you because I go to church three times a week and you only go once a month. A holier than thou attitude. So that is a very subtle spiritual ego. So it's very good to go to the church, to pray, to do rituals. That's wonderful. I'm not putting that down. But the main quality of a devotee which makes a person a lover of God is Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam. Adveshta means he does not hate anybody. Sarva Bhutanam, all beings, does not hate anybody. Any religion, any caste, any creed, any community, any race. Not only that, but does not hate animals, birds, plants, fish. Intentionally will never harm anybody. Does not hate anybody. You say, okay, I don't hate anybody. But then they say, no, not only you should not hate, but you should be a friend. You should be a friend to all, and karuna, and be compassionate. So you may say, I don't hate anybody, but we transfer that as not only you should not hate, but you should actively love the world and be compassionate to people who are suffering, people who are unhappy, and help. And such a devotee, Bhagavata Preshtaha, he is dear to the Lord. The Lord loves him. Because if you love the whole world and serve them as a manifestation, because the one Lord that created her created me and him and her. There is only one God who created the whole universe. And if I love an individuals as a manifestation of God, that they are all God's children, they are my brothers and sisters, I was created as much as he, and everybody has an equal right to live and thrive on this world, then such a person is dear to the Lord. God loves him. And krita krityasya eva, he and his or her life is fulfilled. He has accomplished what the purpose of human birth was. So let us talk a little bit about no hating. A true devotee says that I am a manifestation of that divinity. You know, just as from one piece of clay, if many little pots are made, small pot, big pot, yellow pot, green pot, a cup, saucer, they're all nothing but clay and clay alone, and they're all related, they're all one. So similarly, as we have come from that one God, we are all actually an expression of that one divinity. So just as the one clay is in all the parts, so one God is in all of us. So he sees everybody as me, as part of me, as not as separate from me. Just as I love my entire body, you know, I love my nose, I love my finger, I love my hands. Why? Because I'm there everywhere. Even if my toe is hurting, I get hurt. Even if my eyes are hurting, I feel bad. And people go to great lengths, you know. Somebody says, you have a big nose. Says, so what? You know, I love my nose. Why are you poking your nose in my business? You know, or the Socrates, he was told, you have a big nose. He says, that's good. I can breathe more oxygen than the rest of you. So, you know, people love their own body. They will go to great extents to preserve it, get plastic surgery done, and get all kinds of, you know, modifications and changes. And then they want to, some of them even freeze their body. Why? So that I may live forever, and maybe later on, when a cure is found for that disease, not that dead body is not going to be revived, whether it's frozen or not. But people go to such great extents to love their body, because everybody thinks that my body is good, it's perfect. In fact, that reminds me of a joke of George Bernard Shaw. He was a great intellectual, great writer, great philosopher. And he went to a party, and there was this, you know, actress, model, who, you know, is this kind of flighty one who was very beautiful, but that's all she did, you know, spend time in her beauty and didn't have much up above. So she comes to George Bernard Shaw and says, you know, Mr. Shaw, you and I should get married. And George Bernard Shaw, even though was very great philosopher, he wasn't good looking, you know, he was very average, below average, not very good looking at all. So, and he knew that. So she says, you know, Mr. Shaw, if we get married, you know, our child will have my beauty and your brains, you know, and will be a perfect child. George Bernard Shaw says, yeah, that's good. But how about if he gets my beauty and your brains? So I love my entire body, even if it is a part, is, you know, if I'm a defect or have a, you know, a leg not working or whatever, but I still want to preserve it. Doctor says, you know, you need to cut this part because it's gangrenous, it's getting infected. You say, no, doctor, I don't trust you. I'm going to go to the Mayo Clinic, or I'm going to go to, you know, La Jolla or San Diego. I'm going to go to some specialist. Or I'm going to go to alternative therapy or homeopathy. Why? Because we want to preserve every part of the body. Just as I love every part of my body, the devotee loves every part of the universe, everybody as him, as part of him. And so that's why not only he does not hate anybody, but just as I positively love and I'm compassionate to my body, so he or she is compassionate and devoted to the whole world. And so that's what is more important. Of course, going to the church is good, but more important is how you deal with people. How do you love them? How do you serve them? How do you worship everybody as a manifestation of God? And that is a true sign of a devotee. That's why Jesus said, love thy neighbor, whoever that neighbor should be. So that is what is meant by that He is compassionate to all. And God loves him, obviously, because he sees that this person constantly thinks about me, constantly works for me, constantly serves me. Even no matter whatever job he may be doing, he may be a janitor, he may be a physician, he may be an engineer, a housewife, whatever work he or she is doing, they're doing it as his work. When they are cleaning the house, I'm cleaning God's house. When I'm doing the dishes, you know, God resides in this house and God is the one who ate. My children ate in these dishes and God is in them. So every activity becomes a service. The patients that you see, or if you're a teacher, the students that you're seeing, you say, I'm teaching the Lord himself and all these little boys and girls. So there is a spontaneous love. And so God loves such a individual. And their life is fulfilled, because our idea of success is very different. Our idea of success is, how much is my bank balance? You know, what is my net worth? You know, that's why they say his net worth. That means he's worth this much. And if his net worth is below a million or half a million or whatever, you know, he's, you know, in this party, I won't associate with him. Or, you know, the one who lives in the country club, in the gated community, or what kind of car he drives, or how big, how many carat her ring is. So these are our ideas of success, or how big a factory he owns, or what position he owns in the company. But those are all temporary. Those are all false. I mean, it's good. We're not saying that one should not work or succeed. But the true measure of success of an individual is how close I have come to God in this life. How much have I evolved spiritually? That's the only thing that matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. You need, yes, you know, you need to have money and all to live, but my net worth is determined by my net progress towards God. How much have I reached close to that? How much have I progressed? If I have, then this life is worthwhile. Otherwise, I have wasted it. I may be the richest millionaire in the world. I may have the biggest house, but if my heart does not love everybody, does not serve the world, if I'm selfish, dishonest, then my life is a waste. It's not successful. It's a wasted life. So that is what they say, that the only life that is successful is the life that is spent in service, life that is spent in progress towards God. And that is the end of this text, where it says that that is the qualities of a devotee. And the last verse, we'll just briefly do that. And then we'll turn it open to questions.